that we have got to get out the door. It's time for school. And some of you, just hearing that story, it brings up some stress in your life, right? That's not a distant memory. That's, oh, that was on Friday, actually, that happened. And during those seasons, we've all experienced those. If you're a parent, especially a parent of school-age kids, you start to get stressed, right? Start to feel that tension in your shoulders. You start to feel your heart rate come up, and you're kind of yelling at each other. We've got to go. We don't want to be late for school. We don't want to be late for work. Just a stressful way to start the day. So today we're going to talk about, what do we do about that? What do we do about that? And I wish that I could promise you that those days wouldn't happen, but the only way to get rid of those days is to get rid of your kids. That's the only way to do that. And one of these days that will happen. One of these days they will be gone, and the only way you'll have to, you know, find pants for is maybe yourself. I don't know. But so I can't promise you that. There's nothing I can do to help with those. Maybe that's not the season you're in, but you're in the season of work is just really stressful. Lots of things going on, and they're not even bad things. It's just the cost of progress, the cost of building, the cost of doing business, and you got meetings that are tense, and there's important discussions, and you know as you're getting ready to go into work on Thursday, I've got to have this meeting, or I've got to meet with HR, or we've got this business started, it's not quite working, and it's just stressful, and you start to feel yourself kind of clenching your fist. Again, I can't help you avoid those things, but what we're going to talk about today is that maybe there's a way that in the middle of those, when it is stressful, that maybe we can also hold in our other hand peace. That maybe those two things aren't mutually exclusive. Maybe it's not mutually exclusive that I have everything going right in order for me to have peace. Maybe I can have some stress and maybe a little bit of tension and my heart rate is up a little bit, and yet at the same time, maybe I can have peace in the middle of it. We think that it's possible, and Jesus promises that it is possible if we do some things. So again, we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is something that the Apostle Paul talks about. We'll see it here in a second in Galatians chapter 5. We got a lot of scriptures we're going to go through this morning, so we don't have a specific one. But the fruit of the Spirit is what we've been discovering over the last few weeks. It's not something we earn. It's just something that's produced in us. That as we are connected to our Savior, Jesus Christ, as His Spirit lives within us, that these things start to be produced in our lives. It's not a checkbox that we go through. It's not, I reached this level and now I have. It's just the result of abiding. It's the result of being connected to God. And one of the fruits of the Spirit, we've talked about love and we've talked about joy. And this week, we're going to talk about this idea of peace. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit, what I can get by just simply being with my Savior. Well, one of them is peace. We think that that's possible for you. And for you, maybe, you know, we've got, you know, 100 people or whatever it is this morning here in the room. For all of us, when we hear peace, it's probably different. For you, maybe peace sounds like a quiet cup of coffee and a still morning and you're hearing the birds chirp. And maybe it's taking that vacation, that's peace. And maybe for you, you think, well, peace is, that's for somebody else. Peace is for the family that's got it all together. Peace is limited to the people who they've got their career where they wanted it to go, or their life is just working out. Peace is for the other people, but in this stage and season of my life, I just can't have it. For you, maybe you're in the season of life that Brandy and I are in, that sometimes peace sounds like when it's finally bedtime. That's finally, you know, just a little bit of quiet, but then we're also exhausted. And so there's just that, it's just that tension. Maybe peace for you is when, if I could just finally get all of the boxes on the to-do list checked off, then I would be at peace. But I check one off and three more get added. And oh, it's just a struggle. So what do we do with that? How do we navigate the seasons of our life that are busy and they're good things for the most part, but they can add stress? And how can I have in both hands a busy life that sometimes produces, to nobody's fault, stress and peace at the same time? So what we're going to discover today, and hopefully it will have some value to your life, is that the biblical peace is different than what we would say the world or culture's peace. Because the world, the culture, what we often chase is absence. But what we're going to discover from Jesus today is peace is actually not, it's not absence, it's presence. When I chase peace, and I bet the same is true for you, that when you chase peace, you're trying to get something away. You're trying to move yourself away. You're trying to move yourself away from some chaos. You're trying to remove yourself from the busyness. You're trying to move yourself from the toddler stage or the baby stage or the sleepless night stage. If I could just get through this, if I didn't have this, if this blank was filled, whatever that blank is, the absence of this would cause peace. And in some ways, that's absolutely right. In some ways, your life will be a little bit easier when you don't have to wake up three times a night to nurse your baby. I mean, that's just inevitable. That will help you. But there's always something else. There's always a blank. If I could just get rid of, you put your blank in. There's always, in every stage, in every season of life, there's something there. And we chase that, and we get it for a little bit, but then we find ourselves frustrated because, well, yeah, I fixed that, but now this is here, and now I'm still stressed out, and I'm still at the end of the rope, and I'm still yelling at the people, and I'm still short-tempered with my kids. What do I need to do to get some peace? When the scripture points us to, it's not actually found in absence, that we can have these difficult seasons and peace because of presence. I mean, I want for all of us. I want it for myself. I want the absence of conflict, and I want the absence of noise. Can I get some absence of noise, please? The absence of problems, the absence of stress, and I'm pro all of those things. And maybe the role for you is maybe you do need a vacation, and maybe you need to enjoy a 3-day weekend, and I don't know what that looks like. These are good things, but you know this. You don't need me to tell you this. They're momentary. You get the absence of noise, and then you wake up and there's noise again. Yeah, get the absence of conflict, but then there's more conflict. And so if we're always chasing absence, we're always just going to be wearing ourselves out because it's always out there. I have to get there in order to have something in here. And what Jesus points us to, it's actually presence in conflict and presence in noise and presence in problems and presence in stress. His presence with us, even though this, and what you can put your fill in the blank, even though this is happening, I can have some peace. And you know this, and every study will tell you this, that this in our world, anxiety is at an all-time high. Prescriptions of anti-anxiety medicines have never been prescribed at a higher rate. And I'm not saying that those are bad or that you shouldn't be in those. I'm not trying to give you any type of medical advice. I'm so grateful for all of those things. But for many of us, we've got all these little nagging things that just try to poke and poke and poke. And they're not these huge, monumental, life-altering things. Those happen sometimes. But for most of us, we're just trying to live through this day in and day out, kind of the minor inconveniences. And so here's the big idea of today. If you fall asleep or if you can't stay for the whole thing, here's the big idea. Here's what we're going to try to communicate today is that peace is an absence of chaos, but God's presence within it. It's that in this chaos, and the cereal is spilled, and we cannot find for the life of us pants, and I've got to go 60 miles, but I need to be there in 30 minutes, but there's no gas in the car, and all of it. I can have peace in it. What the word for the scripture, the Old Testament, was the word shalom. And then the New Testament translated that same idea into Greek. And shalom is this wholeness, that everything is together, that life, and you know this, that life's goal, and it would seem society's goal, is to pull us apart, to pull you in all these different directions. And I've got to do this, and I've got to be here, and I've got to accomplish this. And it's just, if you can imagine just that rubber band that just is pulled in all these different directions, and there's tension, and eventually it just snaps. And what biblical peace is this idea of shalom. I'm together. In the polling, I'm still maintaining this anchor point of presence. And I've got my schedule, and I've got my responsibilities, and I've got my worries, and I've got these things that I wish were different, and there's constant noise. And while I'm holding that, there's still some peace. that I'm still held together. And so this morning, I'm just going to show you a bunch of different types of scriptures. If you have a Bible, you can write them down. There's going to be a couple in John. There's going to be a couple in Isaiah. There's going to be one in Psalms. You can look at Philippians chapter 4. We're not going to look at this, but it talks about peace as well. We're just going to talk about three things. And these are not steps. It's not things that I do this and then I can do this. It's just more than anything. It's just reminders. It just maybe showing us some things that maybe you didn't know were available to you. Because if you are a follower of Jesus, what he has promised you is that you can have peace, that's available. And so, and we said this last week, either that's true or Jesus is lying. One of those two things. Either you can have peace in chaos, in stress, in 2024, or Jesus is lying to you, and this is all just a bunch of garbage, and we should just go home. You could have been doing other things this morning. But three things to remember, and again, I'm right there with you. These are areas that I need to grow in, and so the last thing I want you to hear is, hey, if I could just be more like Kyle, hey, be more like me, let me tell you, it's not the case. It's not the case. I'm trying to grow in it myself, and so my hope is to just be a little bit of a tour guide this morning that we can all grow together in peace. But what we have to remember, the first one is that we can receive this as a gift, that we can receive the peace that Jesus gives, not as something we earn, but as a gift that we receive. And now, just to be clear, we're focusing and we're thinking of, there's two different pieces that kind of the scripture talks about. Peace that we celebrated Easter is peace with God. That because of our sin, that we were separated from God. Jesus came and solved the problem of that through his death and resurrection. And so when we come into relationship with him, we have peace with God. That's what we celebrate at Easter. That's what we're so grateful for about the cross. But in addition to that, not just peace with God eternity someday, what Jesus points us to is that in our moments today, in day in and day out life, that we can have peace in our world. I have peace with God because of what Jesus did. I can have peace in my life because of the gift that he did. That God's Spirit is developing peace in me. It's not something that I wake up one day and I have all of a sudden fully mature. It every day I just recognize that I need to be deeper into God's presence, and as that presence is with me, it's developed inside of me. Here's what Jesus said. He was talking to his disciples. It's at the very, very end of his life. Jesus knows exactly what's coming for him, and Jesus knows exactly what's coming for his disciples. Their life was getting ready to spin totally out of control. They were going to be hunted down. All of them, except for one, was going to be brutally, brutally executed because of their faith in Jesus. Their life was about to be worse than we could ever imagine. And Jesus has the audacity to say this: peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Yeah, but hey, but Jesus, they're about to be like fed to lions. Peace. But the Romans are going to try to break into my house and rip my kids away from me and throw us in jail. And we're not going to have enough food to eat. And we're going to be running for our lives. We're going to die because of our faith in you. Peace I leave with you. Now, if Jesus is promising that to his disciples, don't you think that we can also have peace when we're stressed about our kids and stressed about your job and stressed about the very real thing? And I'm not trying to minimize what you're going through, because it is stressful and it is chaotic. But if Jesus' peace was enough for these disciples, can it also be enough for us? My peace I give you. I don't give you as the world gives, because the world gives it as absence. The world says peace is the absence of something, and it's always out there. You have to chase it. You have to go get it. My peace is different than that. Hey, don't let your hearts be troubled, and don't be fearful. Why, Jesus, don't we have to let our hearts be troubled? Is it because you're going to make every problem go away? Nope. You're actually going to have more problems. Can I not be afraid because you're going to put all the pieces together and it's all going to be smooth sailing from here on out? No, it's actually going to get worse. And you can have peace in the middle of it. The world offers peace as meditation apps, and I'm pro meditation apps, but there's that calm for a little bit, but then I get off the meditation app and I'm back into the world. The world offers peace as the self-help strategy. You just got to try harder. You got to schedule your life a little bit better. You got to do this. It's always out there. The world is peace. Is I just got to escape. It's just that escape mechanism. We all have those. We scroll on TikTok and swipe through on Instagram and we binge watch Netflix. And it's just this escape. I've got so much chaos out there. I just need a little bit internal here. And you know, it's fine for a little bit, but then Netflix gives you that really rude, are you still watching? Yes, I am still watching Netflix. Don't judge me. It's been a hard day. We've all been there, right? But it's just that escape thing. The world gives you the peace. It's just this control strategy that I've got to plan everything, and I've got to avoid all the risks, and I need to make sure. I've just got to wrap my kids in bubble wrap and do all the things. I can't let them get hurt. I can't let anything go wrong. It's just exhausting. It's just exhausting. And Jesus says, well, here's what I want to do instead. I want to offer you myself, my peace. I mean, I want to offer that it's not a peace is not a thing, it's a person. Peace is not something that you can get out there, it's a presence that you have with us. That not is it just himself, but it's permanent. I'm gonna leave it with you. It's not something that you have to chase. You didn't have to come to church this morning to get it. That on the Tuesday morning, in the spilled milk and in the chaos, that he's there too. And when you're going into that work meeting that you've just been dreading, he's there too. And that conversation with your husband or your wife, that there's this conflict and this, that he's there. And it's a different source. It's not as the world gives. So that you can receive, and I know it sounds like pie in the sky. I know it just seems impossible. I know that it just seems, yeah, that's for other people, but if you heard my story, I get it. But Jesus promised, my peace is a gift, and it's a gift that you can have, and what this gift does is it's something that you can rely on. Here's the second thing, that I can rely on it during trials. And the world's peace that, you know, we always, all of us are guilty of chasing it. It shatters, right? Whenever something doesn't go right, whenever plans fail, it just shatters because, well, that was unexpected. That wasn't supposed to go that way. I thought my year-end bonus was going to be higher. I didn't think that my wash machine was going to break. I didn't think that my kids were going to end up in the ER. I didn't think that I was going to end up sick. I didn't think that the company was going to go through layoffs. And because this expectation that I had shattered, then my peace shatters, and I'm left. I've got to chase it. It's out there. I've got to figure out something else to figure out. Man, this isn't right, and so I'm not right, and so I've got to chase something until I'm right. And Jesus, now you don't have to do that, because unexpected things happen. You're not going to have everything go the way that you thought it was going to go. I'm a planner. I love a good plan. I love when plans come to fruition, but it's just not the reality of our life. The world's peace and society's peace and culture's peace, it depends on everything has to be right, the absence of problems. What Jesus promised is something way different and way better and way more permanent. I'm going to leave it with you. When all hell breaks loose in your life, and when, not even just all hell, but when there's just those little annoyances, when there's just those little things that push and poke, and one doesn't make that big of a deal, but when I'm at poke number 100, I just want to rip my hair out, and I tell my kids things that I don't really mean, but I'm just at the end of my rope. And I yell at my husband, or I yell at my wife, not because I wanted to, I just am just so frazzled. But what God promises, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and it can strengthen in trials. It's not gonna make those trials go away. Doesn't even necessarily, there's never the promise that it'll even shorten the trial. There's not the promise that the trial is going to be easy to go through. It's in the midst of the chaos, you can be strengthened because it depends on his presence. That it depends on him as a person. I'm with you in it. Jesus said just a couple chapters after verse number 14, John chapter 16, I've told you these things so that in me, peace is a person. Peace is a presence. You may have peace. And then there's this wild promise. You will have suffering in this world. Now, some of you have Bible verses on your fridge, or you know, you've got them framed all throughout your house. None of you have the verse, in this world, you will have trouble framed at your house. That's not that encouraging. Some of you have got Bible verse tattoos. Nobody has a Bible verse tattooed on their neck. In this world, I'm gonna have trouble. If you got that Bible verse tattooed on your neck, that is the trouble that you're having. That's just part of, you know, and do it. You know, the Lord loves you. We all think it's weird, but the rest of it, you know, that's fine. In this world, you're gonna have trouble. Be courageous. Wait, come on. These two sentences, if we're going to the society strategies, you can't put these two sentences together. If I'm needing the absence of problems, it's in me, you're gonna have peace because I'm gonna make sure you never have suffering. And so because you never have suffering, you can just be courageous. I've overcome everything that you're gonna, it's not what Jesus promised. In this world, you're gonna have trouble. You know what else Jesus promised? We're not gonna put it up on the screen. You know what else Jesus promised? That if you're a Christian, that if you're a follower of Christ, you're gonna have more problems than people that aren't. That's not very encouraging. Again, not a Bible verse that anybody wants to put up. Yeah, if we follow Jesus, there's more trial. There's more challenges because the world is pushing us and pulling us to live this way, and Jesus is calling us to live this way, and so it introduces more problems, more chaos, more stress, and Jesus has the audacity to say, in that, be courageous. I've overcome. Not because of the absence, because of presence. Charles Spurgeon, an extraordinary author and theologian, amazing guy that just did so much for the Christian faith. He said this, I've learned, I didn't come to it naturally, I've learned to kiss the waves that throw me against the rock of ages. What an extraordinary statement. I don't know if I'm there yet, but that's where I want to be. When life just throws me up against something, and I want it to throw me up against a Savior that knows, a Savior that's present. Yeah, I got hit by a wave. I wasn't expecting it, but I know I'm anchored in the rock of ages, the creator of it all, the one who holds everything in his hand. Some of you are parents, and remember when you were teaching your kids how to swim? They were that little one-year-old or two-year-old or three-year-old, whatever that looked like for you. And you were standing there in the deep end of the pool, and you were trying to convince your little son, your little daughter, just jump in. Mom's gonna catch you or dad's gonna catch you. And remember what they said, man, I'm too scared. I'm too scared. And you encourage them, just, I've got you. I'm gonna catch you. I'm gonna be with you. And all of a sudden, that little kid got that little tiny bit of courage. They launched themselves into your hands and you caught them. What changed? The water was still deep, still scary. But what that little child was able to do was he was able to focus not on the things that I don't understand, but I think that there's somebody in it that loves me. The water's still deep. But in that, there's somebody who loves and is gonna catch me. And that's the picture of a Savior. That's a picture of, yeah, it's chaos and it's deep and I don't understand it, it's scary. And in it, I've got somebody that loves me. There is presence. Isaiah said it this way, that you will keep the mind that is dependent on you in perfect peace. In perfect peace, because it's trusting. Peace comes from presence, not changed circumstance. Now, I mean, again, if I was gonna write the Bible, if it was me just making it up, the way that I would write this verse is, man, I will keep from all trials those whose mind are fixed on me. I'll keep from all trials those who showed up to church on Sunday. I'll keep from all trials those who, I'll keep in perfect peace those who, in the chaos of the Tuesday morning, in the stress of the Thursday job, in the weekend that's just so long, God's with me. Yeah, there's water and chaos, and in it, there's presence. There's in it, there's somebody that's going to catch me. Peace guards us in circumstances, not from them. And that's an important distinction. Peace guards us not from things happening, but as I go through it, it's in it. That we can, I just tell you, we can receive peace as a gift. It's available to you. God wants it for you. That he paid an extraordinary price that you would be able to have it. And we can rely on it in trials. And then here's one thing that we can do. These are all things that we receive. But then there's this other part that we actually have a part to play in. We grow in peace through obedience. That some of our peace, some of us, and again, you can decide for yourself. For some of you, this will not be helpful at all. But for some of us, at different seasons of our life, the reason that we're missing peace is because of our own choices. The reason that I'm sometimes missing peace is the person looking back in the mirror. Is that I made some choices that I shouldn't have made, and now the repercussions of that are causing me some anxiety and some stress. I've got to hide. I've got to cover up. I've got to remember the lie. I've got to do. There's stress that is added to my life because of me. But I can grow in my peace through obedience. Isaiah said it this way: the result of righteousness will be peace. Now, we're not earning it through behavior, but we can avoid some stress and some anxiety and some tension in our life through, hey, maybe God knows what he's talking about. What a concept. Maybe God actually knows the best way for me to live my life. Maybe he does have a plan for my time. Maybe he does have a plan for my emotions. Maybe he does have a plan for my relationships. Maybe he knows more than I know. And the result of living a righteous life, there's peace that comes with that. The effect of righteousness will be this quiet confidence forever. That I don't, again, that peace is a gift that you can receive, and peace can keep you strong in trials, and we can avoid some unnecessary chaos and stress in our life by saying, I'm choosing ahead of time, I'm gonna do what God's called me to do. I'm gonna live in a way that God has called me to live. David, the psalmist, said it this way: abundant peace belongs to those who love your instructions. Nothing makes them stumble. Not all problems that you're facing, not all problems that you're facing are the result of disobedience, but some are. Let's just be honest enough to say it. Not every stress that I face in my life is the result of my disobedience or my living my way instead of God's way, but some are. Some are. That we're all in this together. Some of us have introduced into our life unnecessary stress, unnecessary pain, unnecessary anxiety because we knew what God wanted and we just didn't care. We knew what God was calling us to, but this sounded better. And so we did that, and God loves us, but the result of that, the consequences of that are, well, now I've got to hide, and I've got to remember the lie, and I've got to keep up appearances, and I've got to make sure that I'm not found out. And boy, that's a stressful way to live. Adds a lot of anxiety to our life. And so what Isaiah was saying, what David is saying, is that when we live God's way, there is trial and there is struggle and there is this tension, but we can avoid unnecessary. We don't have to create it on our own. The world has plenty enough already. The world introduces plenty of stress without our help. We don't have to introduce more on our own. And so I want you to imagine this. I want you to imagine. Same scenario. We've got the Tuesday morning, about 7:35 or so. Milk is still spilled. Still can't find the pants anywhere. How is it possible that with all the shopping trips, we cannot find one pair of clean pants? And so inevitably, we just go into the dirty laundry and say, well, these aren't as dirty as some of the others. Let's just use those for today. We still can't find socks. We're going to be late. So it's the same scenario. Nothing's changed. But in the middle of that, there's just something different, because you just took this little pause. And you just decided, here, I'm going to introduce this prayer to you in just a second. He's here with me. He's here with me. I'm not facing this on my own. And the milk's still got to get cleaned up. And still, how is it possible that we can't find pants? How does that even happen? He's here with me. I'm not facing this on my own. Yeah, I've still got that elevated heart rate, but my soul is steady. Yeah, maybe there's still some tension in my shoulders and I'm still kind of getting amped up, but my spirit is anchored, because real peace, God's peace that he wants to give you as a gift, it's not found in it's not found in perfect circumstances or the absence of chaos. It's not found in the removal of struggles. That's awesome. I want that for us, but that's not where peace is. But real peace is found in His presence, that chaos that you're going to face this week, his presence is there in perfect companionship. You're not facing it on your own. His strength. Man, I'm weak. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know how it's all going to work out, but he's here, and it's available. It's available right here, right now. This is the peace that is introduced by presence, not in the absence of chaos, but in the presence of God in that chaos. And so here's what this week, here's a challenge. I want you to try it for the next 7 days. Just want you to give it a shot. I want you to take this presence pause. It takes 3 seconds. And my hope is that maybe it could change everything. Just give it a shot. The worst that's going to happen is you said, I tried it and gosh, I just don't think it, worked. Just not sure it worked. But what if you gave this a little shot, and what if maybe it made just that little bit of difference in your life? Again, it's not going to fix everything. This is not this magic wand. It's not this genie in the bottle. What it really is doing is just reminding yourself, I'm not alone in this. Here's all you've got to do. It's just these few little words. Lord, you're in this too. You're in this too. Because all of us know that I'm at church. Of course, God's here. Yeah, you know, I sang the songs. Of course, God's here. But he's also there in that stress, in that Tuesday morning that just is falling apart at the seams. And it's not the promise that you're not going to have the Wednesday morning fall apart, but it's just that presence pause that just reminds us, Lord, peace is found in presence. When the coffee spills, when I'm running late, when the day's not going the way that I wanted it to go, when everything, Lord, you're in this too. When all hell is breaking loose, and when it's just these little pokes in my life, and when I feel the tension with my spouse, you're in this too. You haven't left me to do this on my own. Perfect peace is available for those whose mind is fixed on you. My peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I don't give you as the world gives, but it's there for you. Peace is a gift. 3 questions, then we're going to be done. Have you received the peace that Jesus offers? Not just heard about it, but welcomed it. Have you, first, more important question, have you received peace with God? Have you crossed the line of faith that said, I recognize that I can't get to God on my own. I need a savior. I need someone to pay the penalty for my sin, and I accept the gift of Jesus, and then I have peace with God. Have you accepted that? And then secondly, have you went beyond just the peace with God and received the gift that Jesus wants to give you, the gift of his presence day in and day out? Don't let the next time you connect with God be next time you're in church. It's too long. You can't do it. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, it's peace. It wants to be developed. It is available to you. It's not going to happen overnight, but it can grow in you. And you can look back at your life and you can say, wow, I've still got chaos. I've still got stress. It's a different season, but there's different problems. And in the middle of it, I'm holding on to some stress and some things going on, and I have peace with it. Second question, what trial, this is going to be different for you, everybody, what trial are you facing that you need to rely on his peace? Where does this land for you today? And maybe as you go into that this week, maybe you just take that presence pause. You say, oh, you're in this too. Some of you are walking through the halls of your high school and middle school. You're in this too. You're getting ready to decide, should I take this job, should I not? You're in this too. And then thirdly, what step of obedience is he asking you to take? Are you introducing stress that doesn't need to be there? Is your lack of following God creating in you tension that it's nobody's, listen, it's not God's fault. It's nobody's fault but the person looking back in the mirror. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but some of my problems are, I want to blame God. And God, how could you let this happen? I mean, well, it's my fault, really. I knew better, but I did. Is there a step of obedience that you should take? I want so much for you to have peace. And God promises it, not because you were here today, but because God is with you wherever you go this week. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, we need it, we need it, we need it, we need it. We live in a chaotic world, and we need your peace. And so, Lord, I'm praying for every mom that is just at her wit's end, just not sure, can I make it through another week? Lord, I'm praying for your peace, not because of absence, but because of presence. Lord, I'm praying for those dads that are doing their best to get all the to-do list done and doing their best to be a provider and be an anchor for their family, but they don't feel like they're measuring up. They feel like at every turn that they're just missing the boat. Lord, I'm praying for peace. Lord, I'm praying for families that where there's tension between parents and kids or parents and their spouse. Lord, I'm praying that your presence would be there. Lord, at our jobs, that your presence would be there. Whatever we're walking through, whatever we're going through, Lord, we need your peace. And you promised that we could have it. Not because we arrived somewhere, but because of what you have done for us. And so, Lord, would you help us this week when we get spun up, when the tension starts to rise and our blood pressure starts to rise, would you help us to take that pause and just remember, Lord, you're in this too. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.